flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are glad that you are here hanging out with us. Coming up, Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us, Sirius XM NBA host. And also, we'll get to some guy talk coming up this hour. We started the show today by talking about the decision-making process with our Falcons. And I'm not talking about players and, you know, draft stuff. I'm just simply saying, if Jeff Ulbrich likes a situation or a player and Raheem Morris doesn't, or vice versa, how does that impact their relationship? More importantly, because, Mike, you can have a personal relationship. We know this. We have a working relationship. But you also have to have a relationship that allows you to thrive in your job. And so we were talking about this, and you said to me, you know, as we started, and we'll get back into this in the 5 o'clock hour, we certainly want to hear from you guys. You can text us at 404-726-0929. We were just simply saying, like, being friends should help, right? Mm. But I don't want to put the caveat just on that. Like, I don't want people to just think because they're friends this is going to work. Mm-hmm. They still have to put the work in, you know? They still have to show up every day and do what it is that they need to do to make this team better. But it should help, Mike, that they have this basic understanding of where they want to go with this. That's kind of where I'm at with this whole where's the decision-making process coming from?
I mean, yes, you touched on it, and it makes perfect sense. Guys have familiarity. That's why you see people get hired in this league. You know, if our guy, Fontenot knew Ryan Pace, you know, in the business, that's why when the Bears cut him loose, he comes and he works with us. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Scott Pioli had a relationship with Dimitroff, you know, and we knew he was always the leak. But anyway, Carl Pioli was certainly here, you know, with the organization, if there was information. But anyway, but yeah, and sometimes it works. You know, but then again, sometimes when you have too much familiarity, is that too many, I don't know, voices all, does it become an echo chamber?
Okay.
You know, I guess that was my beef, and that's why when I said, guys, well, who do you want, Mike? I said, well, anybody. Dennis Allen, Wink Martindale, Steve Wilkes, maybe somebody who brings a fresh, that's what I said on Twitter, a fresh perspective. It's not a knock on Jeff Ulbrich. I just think sometimes, if anything we've seen with this organization, it's a lot of that, and I don't like that. You know, it's not nepotism or anything like that. That's not like he's hired somebody's son. He's got a relationship with Jeff. He trusts him that Jeff knows what he's doing and knows his defense.
Yeah.
You know, my beef is, I don't know, do we have the dudes, though? Do we have the guys to make?
No.
That's the thing. Do we have the athletes to execute what they want to do?
No. Not all. We've got some, but we don't have enough of them. And I do agree with that. To me, that's the bigger issue versus what this relationship is and how they're going to operate. I actually think, as frustrated as many of you have been, and even me to a certain degree, because, again, I thought there were some other guys who I wanted to see here who would bring some of that pizzazz that Mike is talking about. And maybe Brick brings that, right? That's what they call it. Maybe he's going to bring that back here. But I do know this. It's not going to be because they're not on the same page. It's not. And I'm only saying that because Rod's not going to hire somebody. Listen, guys, his job's on the line. If your job's on the line, are you hiring somebody that you feel like I'm going to have an issue with, or we're not going to be on the same page? You're not doing that. You're not doing it. If this was your business, you're not doing that. So I think from that standpoint, they're going to be fine. To your point, Mike, I don't know about whether the scheme or the players or combined or all of that is going to get us to where we need to be right now. And then it becomes, well, how much time? Because if you tell me right now, next year, Mike and I are still here talking about we ain't in the playoffs and it's year eight, I got a problem. I got a big problem.
Guy's going to be fired. That's coming down. I mean, look, I said this earlier. We just talked about Shad Khan. They eventually fired Trent Baalke. Some would say you should have just fired him as soon as the season was over, along with Coach Peterson. And then after he finds out he can't get a good coach to come and get the job, because, well, maybe they don't like the general manager. So, and I know that a lot of guys feel that Arthur is the constant. Look, Arthur Blank is never going to sell the teams. That's an impossibility. And eventually, the succession plan, which has been written about, is his. I believe the son would probably be the point man, and they'll have people obviously around the organization to see him through. Rich McKay would still be involved at some level or not, but he wants to win, and he's a good. You know, Arthur's not a bad guy. You know what Arthur's given to this city and what he continues to do for this city. But it's funny how guys can be so successful, and Arthur gets marketing. You know, if Bernie was the dollars and cents guy, Arthur was the marketing guy at Home Depot. He knows what the fans want, but he hasn't been able to provide it. And because maybe he's loyal to a fault, I just don't think that he's going to continue to have this kind of this long a fuse or this long a leash with whoever is going to be running the show now. I think there's got to be a sense. Curry, you're 82 years old. You got to be a sense of urgency. It would be 8 years we wouldn't be in the playoffs if we don't make it this next year.
Next year. That's what I'm saying. Like that's
right.
So I don't, and I get back to, like, if that's what you think is going to be the issue, it's not. The issue is going to be, do we have the dudes? The issue is not going to be whether or not Jeff Ulbrich and Raheem Morris are seeing eye to eye. Trust me. 404-726-0929. We need to talk some dogs. So, listen, it's early. Mike has not done his first mock draft, not yet. Mm-hmm. But there are at least three dogs who are going to be in the top 15 right. Of the top 15 picks that Georgia is going to get drafted out of Georgia this year. Okay, we're talking about Mikael Williams. We're talking about Jalen Walker, right? These guys are top 10 in many cases, certainly top 15 picks. But everybody's talking about, you know, what this team's going to look like next year. And I don't want to leave out Malachi Starks either, who is also projected to be a potential first-round pick. But here's right. what we do know, and that is that coming back next season, the Dogs will be one of the top two or three teams and title contenders to start the season. Now, everybody talks about these rankings, and I always say it's a starting place. You know we got to get to the college football playoff rankings, blah, blah, blah. But along with Ohio State and Texas, Georgia is right there. And, Mike, is this reputation or is this legitimate when you say they're going to be this good next year?
I mean, you're going to – Kirby's never going to have a fall off. You know, I mean, I do think there's room for improvement. And as you guys know, if the media brings it up or somebody in, you know, Bulldog Nation in a chat room, Kirby moves at his own pace, and he's never even give you the satisfaction of somehow you influence, because Kirby knows what he's doing. He's won two natties. But I think he's hearing, and I think he's got to look at the trenches. And they got to replace some dudes that weren't even all that great in the scheme of things, talking about offensive line. So, I mean, Stacey Searles is, I mean, they're all great recruiters. Bobo's a great recruiter. But I just wondered, does Kirby look at it? I mean, to me, there was a big fall off, no blank Sherlock, from all the guys that went in the NFL from 21 and 22 to the last few years. How do you get that back? You know, was Matt Luke, you know, just playing better at offensive line coaching, even though Sam Pittman was maybe better than him? And now it's kind of in a downward trajectory in an area that you dominated in. You know, is your defense, is you know, everyone talks about Bobo. Is Schumann the guy for the job on defense? Why does he get a pass, right?
Yep.
I mean, so I would think you're evaluating every aspect, but the one thing for certain, money plays a huge factor. So if Georgia's collective is in order, and we believe it is, he's got more resources than anybody, they've just got to get better dudes, and they may get even more dudes in that next transfer portal after spring football.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think this is just reputation-based. It doesn't hurt, guys, that the Dogs are considered to be one of the best programs in the country. I think they're the best. I do. I don't care about them not winning the national championship this year. I think what Kirby
But they slipped.
Done,
I mean, they slipped.
They did. They did.
A little bit. Right.
They did. And look, the things you're talking about, I think they – this is what I said, Mike, when we were at Twin Peaks last week. Like, Kirby knows what needs to be addressed. He gets it. He's going to address those things, and I think they'll come back better. And you know, the quarterback play can't be dismissed. I mean, again, Carson Beck, you can say what you want, but how many games did he put in question because of the things that he wasn't able to do consistently? So you've got to play better there. But I'll say this. Kirby has been more consistent than Ryan Day. He's been more consistent than Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame, right? And I know Freeman's fresh on the job. Let's see what he does nine years in. But he's been more consistent. You know, Brian Kelly gets to LSU. Everybody says, oh, he's going to win a national championship. Slow your roll. Like, for me, the Dogs are still the high water mark. It's Sark. When they went and played Texas, and I told you, I trust Kirby more because he's done this. That is why Georgia will be one of the top teams. But it's also from a talent standpoint. Guys, they had, and Connor Riley said this, they had the number one recruiting class. We take it for granted. That just happens every year. Connor Riley killed us weeks ago. They got a number one class back in December. It's done. Okay. Well, whether it was one or two.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the kind of talent level you're bringing in year after year. Mike, you can't do that year after year and not be a contender.
No. I mean, Kirby's got a machine going. I think there's more pressure on Kalen DeBoer in Alabama after what just happened there.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, there'll be pressure in Tennessee for Heupel to get to the next level. I mean, you know, they're chirping right now in Big Ten country, and they got a right to. I mean, through hook or crook, through the new rules and the new expanded playoff, they found a way 2 years in a row. And even though it's very strange the way it was, we said yesterday, we spent a lot of time on it, losing to a Michigan team, you know, for Notre Dame to lose to an NIU and then, you know, make their way into the championship, it is what it is. Georgia just wasn't, you know, peaking at the right time. Georgia had a quarterback that wasn't great, receivers that weren't great, never utilized a running back that we thought was going to be a difference maker, and now he's gone. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's questions for every single SEC team. I think everyone in Texas just assumes Arch Manning comes in and kicks ass, you know, and maybe he does. You know, I had people in my neighborhood the other day. I go, I heard Texas gave yours $1 million to walk away. I don't think that's the case. But I think a lot of folks just feel that, you know, Sark, maybe if Arch is in there in some of those red zone situations, maybe the outcome is different.
Yeah. Tell me about it. 404-726-0929.
Sorry.
Right. Should have put him in there. Four plays from the 8-yard line, but who's counting? As we talk about, you know, again, moving forward and what this is going to look like, I think this is an interesting offseason for the Dogs. But you're right, Mike. Alabama, it's funny because Alabama fans, are you just saying to yourself, okay, three losses are acceptable, it was a down year? Like, as an Alabama fan, when have you ever said that? Now you're making excuses for Kalen DeBoer and the failure that happened this year. When you start to say, oh, you know, three losses, I mean, we'll be all right. Really?
No. In a million years, I don't think there's one Alabama fan that, again, would ever have expected that to be the situation. And then, you know, you wonder, you know, it always seems to be cyclical with Auburn. But every 9 or 10 years, right? Is this year that Hugh Freeze with his new star quarterback and everything else, are they going to start nipping at Alabama? They smell blood in the water. You know, the SEC is constantly evolving. We love the job that our buddy's doing up there in South Carolina, Shane Beamer. And you brought this up yesterday talking to Connor. You know, Florida's got some good, decent recruiting. And certainly Billy Napier, imagine where we were like 4 months ago. Billy Napier was dead in the water, right?
Yes.
He was able to hold on to his gig. So I just think there'll be somebody rising or potentially falling you're not maybe expecting. One thing I will say, and this isn't sour grapes, it's just the SEC is still more competitive top to bottom than the Big Ten is. It just is. But that doesn't diminish the fact that when it came nut cutting time, Michigan got it done last year against Alabama, and Ohio State got it done this year.
What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Follow us, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Brian Geltzahl is going to stop by. Hawks in action tonight against Detroit. We're going to ask him if his opinions of Trae Young have changed, and they better have. It is Dukes and Bell. Hawks in action tonight against Detroit. We need to talk to our guy, Brian Geltzahler. He does a show on SiriusXM, NBA host, and has covered the league for a very long time. Brian, it's good to have you back on the show. The Hawks have been playing really well, obviously overcoming some injuries, and I want to start here with Trae Young because we know you've been critical of Trae. He leads the league in assists. I'm just curious to think or to know what you think about Trae and what you've seen this season and why you think he's having the success he's having.
Well, I think, when I've been critical about Trae Young, there's been a couple of different factors I've criticized. Number one has been his defense, first and foremost. Number two has been his shot selection. Listen, his defense probably isn't much better, guys, if I'm being perfectly frank about it. But the infrastructure around him to hide him is significantly better. Dyson Daniels makes Trae Young a better player, because Dyson Daniels guards the toughest perimeter guy on the other team. Young is left on an island a heck of a lot less having Dyson Daniels next to him. And so you look at from a team-building standpoint to say, okay, we're gonna commit to Trae Young and trade DeJounte Murray. We bring in a guy in the Murray trade that actually makes Young better on the side of the floor that he needed the most improvement. The other thing is that Trae Young is leading the league in assists. I mean, he's still only shooting 34% from three. He's just taking smarter shots. He's not chucking like he used to chuck. He's got good players around him. Listen, Jalen Johnson has been outstanding. Love the player. Feel like, you know, he's a borderline all-star here for what he's done. And Young's been a big reason for that. You know, the thing about Young here is the way he's moved the ball has been contagious up and down this roster. And the unselfishness of this group has been one of the hallmarks of why their offense has been as good as it's been. Obviously, Hunter has been very, very good off the bench. And I think that that's something that you cannot underrate. Since he's come back, he's played really, really well for them. And I love how Quinn Snyder's kept that bench intact. But you look at Young, this is about having the right defensive infrastructure around them. And this is about a little bit of a change in mindset for Trae Young, and I give him a whole lot of credit for that. So I think they've built something around Young that is sustainable and works well, and he seems to fit it and be comfortable in the role. And I don't think it was like that last year with him and Murray together.
Right. We talked about you. Every time we get you on, brother, people go, what did he say? You really trigger some Trae fans. But I think it's on point.
I got to say when I'm wrong. And I've been critical of him in the past. He's played much better this year. There's no two ways about it. And again, some is the team, some is him, but it's working. And you can't deny that.
No, the DeJounte Murray thing, Carl made the statement when he first did this years ago, two ball dominant point guards cannot coexist. Trey's happy, even though he might say, oh, I really love playing with DeJounte. No, he didn't. And so I think to your point, you know, he's really got things cooking. The question now is this ownership group ready to get into one of these aprons that nobody friggin' understands? And what do we do to get better, to push us securely into the playoffs and not the play-in?
So, all right, first of all, 6 seed right now, right? And that's looking pretty good. I might not do a thing. The one thing you could potentially see is maybe they try to use the Capella expiring contract to bring in another shot maker. But I'd be careful. I kind of like that little center rotation with Capella and Okongwu. You know, they'll take advantage of the fact that Nance potentially, and that just hurt right now, but that Nance potentially could be a guy that can play backup five. So if the right deal came along, the Capella contract's attractive, and the Hawks certainly have picks to trade. So that would be the one spot that I would see. Maybe you'd look to shore that up depending upon who's available. But the other thing that I think the Hawks can do here is go the route that the Thunder went last year. Listen, the Thunder tried to make a deal last year with Gordon Hayward, and it was a spectacular failure. Expiring deal, no one cared, didn't matter, and they were done. The Rockets are likely to choose this route this year, which is have them stay on the course because we got a lot of young guys. And let's let this season play out and see who distinguishes themselves as we get late in the season into the playoffs as guys we want to keep and guys we may want to trade. And I think that's smart for the Hawks right now. There's a lot of really good young players here, and I'd be very careful in making some kind of win-now move at the expense of that. And that's, again, I go back to the Capella contract, that expiring deal, not a bad deal to use if you're able to bring in the type of player. And this is the most important factor, guys. Position is less important. Fitting the age trajectory of my core group, Young, Hunter, Johnson, Daniels, Risa Shea, Okongwu, that is what I am more concerned with in terms of what they would do with the deadline. So I'd be very interested to watch and see how all that shook out. Listen, I would say this. You know, Zach LaVine is going to be a guy that teams are looking at here. If I'm Atlanta, I might kick the tires a little bit. Guys having a super year and gives you another dynamic score at the wing position, allows you to play a little bit smaller. That's assuming you know you're going to get Nance back at 100% to be able to be a guy that can back up a Collinwood 5. Listen, you're a little smaller that way, but it's a whole they're a load to guard with another shot maker of that caliber.
Good call. And Lance has been shooting the lights out when he's on the floor. We're talking with Brian Geltziler, guys, SiriusXM NBA host, Hawks in Detroit tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tell me about the Cavs. I mean, we know about the Celtics. And by the way, the Hawks have beaten the Cavs, you know, twice. They've beaten the Celtics twice. They beat the Knicks. So all these top teams in the East. But tell me what the difference is with the Cavaliers and why they are top of the Eastern Conference.
Donovan Mitchell and sacrifice. That is where it starts. Kenny Atkinson came in there. And keep one thing in mind. Remember last year the season ended. And, you know, the Athletic last year with a couple of team season endings had the day after their season ends and they get knocked out of the playoffs, the expose on what went wrong with our team, right? So their big piece with the Cavs added on good authority that if Donovan Mitchell signed a contract extension, Clutch Sports had let the Cavs know and Kobe Altman know Darius Garland's going to ask out. Well, guess what? They signed Donovan Mitchell a contract extension. They signed Kenny Atkinson to stay. And Kenny Atkinson went to all parties involved and said, give me a chance to make this work. What they've been able to do is get Donovan Mitchell to understand the ball doesn't have to be in his hands all the time. And if Garland's going to reach his potential for this team and be the kind of guy they need him to be to advance in the playoffs and be a championship contender, Mitchell has to have the ball less. If Mobley is going to be that kind of guy, again, Mitchell has to have the ball in his hands less. Mobley has to see it. Now, Mobley has added to his game. He's become a much better perimeter shooter. They're using him more. But this is about the fact that Donovan Mitchell isn't really worried about putting up numbers. And listen, Donovan Mitchell can go get his when that's necessary for the Cavaliers to win, but he doesn't have to do that often because of how much they're sharing the ball. The other thing for them is, you know, they have that big four, per se, because Jared Allen's having a super year for them as well. The fifth spot, they've been mixing and matching brilliantly. Caris LeVert's having a really good year when he plays in that spot. They have Max Strus back from injury. When Strus was out, Ty Jerome was a stud. Like, Isaac Okoro can come in and guard his spot there really well. So they have found the ability to mix and match off that bench. And Atkinson has them where guys are moving more off the ball. There's not as much standing around. And they're spreading the floor a little bit better than they have. So I look at this, and it's systemic, but the sacrifice part for Donovan Mitchell has been enormous. He's done a super job. And listen, I voted him to be an all-star starter, and his numbers really don't necessarily bear it out. But when you watch it and you look at the eye test, what he's done, the gravitas that he has, the attention that he draws from defenses allows everybody else to be better when he gets the ball out of his hands. And he's doing it a lot.
It is Brian Geltzeiler, guys, from Sirius XM NBA host, joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. I know the Suns picked up some first-round picks, but I guess it's maybe not for Jimmy Butler. Where does Jimmy Butler wind up?
It's a great question. If you told me I had to give you a Jimmy Butler answer right now, my life depended on it, I'd say it's going to be in Miami after the trade deadline.
Really?
Yeah, there is. And I know the Heat have turned up the efforts to try to trade him. But the reason I say that is this, okay, and I'll put it back on you guys. Are you taking Jimmy Butler's word that he's opting out of $52 million next year? Because I'm not. If there's not a better deal on the table for him, he's going to opt into $52 million. And the thing is, if I'm not willing, I hear the number Butler wants is three at 150. Now, I might give him three at 100. To bring him on board. Three at 150? Are you kidding? That's a crazy number. So when I look at the whole situation, Phoenix wants him. Phoenix just made that deal yesterday to get more first. But I think, could it help him get Butler? It certainly could. The other thing that I think part of that is that Phoenix is realizing they have a Bradley Beal problem. If Phoenix doesn't get Jimmy Butler, I could see them using a handful of those first to get somebody to take Bradley Beal to a place he'd be willing to go. That I could potentially see happening. Could maybe it be back to Washington for them to collect a few firsts and a Kuzma Brogdon package goes back to the Suns, something like that. Again, I'm spitballing. That's not intel. That's me just throwing things out. But I think that's the larger problem for Phoenix. When it comes to Miami, Miami is a limited market. Miami figured teams like Houston and San Antonio would be hot on Butler. They tried to talk to Memphis, and Memphis was interested in Butler. Butler doesn't want to sign an extension in Memphis, which I think is crazy, because if you're a guy that wants to go win basketball games, why not turn around and be able to go join John Morant and Jaren Jackson? Jaren Jackson's having a huge year. Another guy I voted as an all-star in the West. He's been super this year. Why not go play with them? You can win a title this year with that group if you're Jimmy Butler and you can walk in there. Butler doesn't want to be there. So, Butler's done this enough times right now that there are teams that are looking at him and say, who the hell needs this? Listen, there was teams that didn't want to deal with this stuff when Butler was 27 and 28. Who wants to deal with it when he's 35? So Jimmy Butler's got some stink on him right now. And I think for Miami here, they're not going to take a bath on him. And I don't blame them, because, look at what's happened to the Clippers and letting Paul George go for nothing. They took those salary slots and filled them with mid-tier, mid-range types of guys who have played really well for them. The Derrick Jones Juniors of the world that have helped that. Chris Dunn's been a productive player for them. They used some of that money to extend Zubac, extend Terrence Mann, and they've widened out and lengthened their roster. I think the Heat see a scenario like that to support Adebayo, to support Tyler Hero, and Khalil Ware has played great for them lately. So if I'm Miami, I don't take a bath on him. I'm willing to, even if I have to live with the $52 million for next year, I'd probably deal with it. I'd maybe play chicken with him that he'd opt out on it because he claims he doesn't want to be in Miami anymore, doesn't feel appreciated. But if I'm Miami, I don't take a bath, and I don't think a lot of teams are lining up. There's not any kind of robust market for Jimmy Butler right now.
Brian, great stuff, man. We appreciate you stopping by. Brian Geltzeiler, guys, Sirius XM NBA host. Tell my man Sam Mitchell I say what's up, baby. We'll talk to you soon.
I promise. I promise. He loves you guys in the ATL. I will let him know, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff from him. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, we talked about this earlier in the show. Chipper making some great points about how awful baseball writers are, Carl. Despicable. And what did Patrick Mahomes say about people's perception? The Chiefs get all the calls. Who, me? Coming up next. Where to play is play. Thanks to our big boss, Mike Conti, best boss I ever had in radio, Carl, for letting us work from home one more day. I mean, yeah, probably could have made it in the way things are starting to melt, but a little more concerned about getting home tonight and not being like in demolition derby on 85 South, because everything kind of southeast of 85, at least in my neck of the woods, it was very, very funky earlier today. And I know Chris was talking about it. It's still like a lot of frozen stuff. When it gets that kind of weather in Midtown, it takes forever to melt because the buildings, you don't get a lot of direct sunlight.
Yeah, and if you live in a shaded area, and many of us do, Mike, after the snow, we had snow on the ground for the last week. Now, it wasn't like it was when it snowed, obviously, but just patches because it doesn't get the sunlight, to your point. And when you got those big, tall buildings in town and all that stuff going on. So, yeah, better to be safe than sorry, man. And again, I just saw this, you know, there's still people without power across the state. So, I mean, I get it. You may be looking at sunny skies and going, nothing happened here. But that doesn't mean south of the city that it wasn't worse than what you got.
Hey, man, we did this at the end of the show, but I had to bust Carl's chops one more time because we said it as part of a Clear Our Throat yesterday. And Chris is in the studio. I said, remember, be careful out there. Watch out for black ice. And I said, no, I don't mean the driving phenomenon. I mean Carl Duke's ensemble when he rocked that outfit on the FanDuel Network over the weekend. And I put the picture up. You got to go through my Twitter stuff to get to it. But Carl had this really crazy, crazy cool, Carl, ensemble the other day, and Chris and I and Oren were talking about it. So we were just joking. And then my buddy Reese, he hit me up. And then my buddy Deacon, who's a FAMU rattler, he says, man, you got to bring this up again in Guy Talk. So real quick, Becky wanted to know, did Michelle sign off on this outfit before you went to work that day at FanDuel?
No, you know what? So here's the backstory about that particular.
That's a long one that happened just now, Carl.
Well, no, here's the backstory. So you guys know the laryngitis stuff, and I was sick out last week. A couple of days, and man, I'll just be honest, like, you know, I'm all about the tie and rocking the suit, but I literally said, I think I'm just going to go a little relaxed tonight. And I put it on, and I was leaving, and she said, that's fine. Of course, nobody else said anything because, you know, I was looking, you know, but I got there, and I actually didn't know, because you don't know how it looks on camera until you get it on camera. So I got there, and it was fine. I thought it was fine. But really, it was more about how I was feeling that night than it was about the actual ensemble, because I was just like, I was, Mike, hadn't been sleeping and all the stuff that was going on. Voice was crap. So was dealing with all of that. And literally, that's how that came about. But I don't know what you guys are talking about. I rocked that thing. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I was at a watch party, Carl. I was at a watch party for the Hawks with Andy Bunker and just kind of sitting there minding my business with a drink in my hand. And I saw that. And I was like, I have to take a picture of this right now.
Yeah.
I need to photograph this right now.
You know what? I got to repost this right now. Because, again, it was a blazer with a three-quarter zip with a T-shirt. And the yellow shades just put the whole thing together, Oren.
He
says just brought the whole outfit together.
He says they're prescriptions, so we got to go with that.
Guys, if you've seen me there doing this stuff, I've been using those glasses forever.
We have never seen you wear those glasses in studio.
No, because
he's right.
I don't need them for reading. I need them for distance.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't need them
being on TV. Right.
I don't need them for reading. So that's why I've never worn them in studio. You know this. I'll come in with my glasses, but I take my glasses off during the show.
Yeah. Because I'm a man. That's how black ice rolls.
That's how we roll.
I just retweeted it, Mike Bell ATL. So it's up there. Black ice right there, man. Check it out and feel free to comment. All right, man. A couple of things. We talked earlier in the NFL Blitz. We'll get into all the coaching craziness here coming up in about 30 minutes, about 40 minutes or so, as part of our strong arm story. One of the stories that went down, Jay Glazer had it on Sunday's Fox on NFL, saying there were rumors that the Vikings were fielding, or at least listening, to trade offers, a la how the Bucs got John Gruden from the Raiders, for their coach, Kevin O'Connell. Later on, it did not happen. And then Kevin O'Connell was asked about it, said it's complete BS. Well, Jay's still standing by his story that the Vikings, at least for a minute, were talking about maybe making a trade before he signed his extension. And I guess Kevin O'Connell and Jay Glazer won't be laughing at the same jokes anytime soon.
Wow. So do you think – listen, I think Jay probably had this story and things changed. Don't you?
Jay, look, he has – there's certain areas of specifics that he gets because he's dialed in, usually with a player or two on that team. You know, he made his bones with his relationship with Michael Strahan. He always knew what was going on with the Giants. So if Glazer had something, you know, from the organization, you know, there it is. But Kevin O'Connell is staying in Minnesota, and they said that the owner and the general manager said nothing to those rumors. So there you have it, Jay Glazer's word against the organization of Minnesota.
Interesting. Yeah. And look, when things change, it always looks bad for the guy who ran with the story because they're like, oh, you don't know what he's talking about. But a lot of times you get the story, you run with it, and then things change. Like, it happens. So, yeah, man, that's – and I'm wondering if Kevin O'Connell takes that personal because it makes him kind of look like he was out there looking, right?
Right. He called out the alleged leaker, and there's a lot of stuff. You can Google the story. Awful Announcing has a little more in-depth on what was going down, but O'Connell does get that contract extension. So Patrick Mahomes, I guess, you know, he'll say he doesn't hear it, but he's hearing it. The Chiefs are hearing the perception that the league is just playing favorites and the refs are going their way. In an interview, I guess at practice, Patrick Mahomes saying, no, man, I mean, yeah, I probably shouldn't have tried to deke the defender and maybe work the rest of that call I didn't get on the sideline, which everybody was saying was ridiculous. But he says, no. He goes, look, you play the game, it goes the way it goes. And so he's kind of passive aggressive in answering the question, though, about are you getting preferential treatment from the refs, which the majority of refs, I mean, sorry, majority of fans watching the refs feel does exist. But don't you think if ever there was a time, if ever the NFL was going to make sure these guys are on point, it's going to be this AFC Championship game against the Bills?
Absolutely. And look, this, I equate this to, Mike, NBA stars getting calls because of who they are. And because of who Patrick Mahomes is, they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, whether we like it or not. Whether these calls are weak sauce, which I thought two of them were last week, this is what's happening. When you have the resume he has created, and you are, in many cases, Mike, carrying the league. He's the guy, right? I mean, this is what's going on. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt. So I'm with you. I think there is some questions as to how this is being officiated, how they are, the Chiefs specifically, whether they are getting the calls. But, guys, we felt the same way. I know we forget about Tom Brady. We felt the same way.
Right. And I just think, you know, there's got to be some degree of Chiefs fatigue. I know that I was going round and round with a couple of listeners today on social media. Follow us. Carlos, put them up. See you, because I'm at Mike Bell, ATL, with a photo of Black Ice on FanDuel Sports. But I was going around with some listeners, and I said, look, there's no fix. The fact that Andy Reid has his punter run out the back of the end zone, and now you get the backdoor cover for the Texans, that's just Andy Reid being super conservative and not trying to risk a play that might result in a score. And even though it obviously Vegas lost their mind and people who bet, you know, the Chiefs to cover are going nuts, the NFL can't – Carl, you realize the referees, when they leave the stadium on Sunday, they go in at their school principals and their lawyers. The NFL is too cheap to even have, like, real full-time refs and have an academy like they have in England for the FIFA officials and everything else. The NFL should do that and make these guys, like, I don't know, Clockwork Orange – tape their eyeballs open, make them watch film 24 hours a day so they're better. So the idea there could be a fix in the world we live in where nobody can keep their mouth shut, I can't buy into any conspiracy theories. To me, that was just, and that had nothing to do with the refs. That was just the Chiefs making a decision to minimize any potential risk at the end of the game.
Yeah, because if you botch a snap or, you know, there's a fumble, it changes the whole
game.
Now
it's a one possession game.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, so to me, it was the smart play, but just the way things played out with the Texans missing the field goal, and then, you know, you're like, oh, what could have been? And then you're like, wait a minute. And it's still, they still cover. So I'm with you. I don't think there's any conspiracy there. I just think that was smart play by the Chiefs.
Hey, man, one of the things I love and I can't wait because I'm so excited for the new season. I mentioned to Carl yesterday those photos of Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari dressed like a gangster. I mean, literally looking like Enzo Ferrari, double-breasted suit, the jacket over the shoulders. Well, he's got on the track today. They literally had 1,000 people, Carl, just watching him taking this year's car, not even the new car, around the track at the Ferrari test facility in northern Italy. And later on, it's just bananas. He's, you know, taking photos and people are going nuts. This thing's going to be crazy. Reason I mentioned Drive to Survive, and that'll be debuting before you know it on Netflix, that really helped to propel Formula One's popularity during COVID when so many people were stuck at home. So you're either watching Lion King or you're watching, or not Lion King, what was the one with the crazy animal trainers, Orin? That one.
Tiger.
Tiger King. That maniac. So people were stuck at home, and that was the big thing driving Formula One. Well, one of the things that you see on Netflix Drive to Survive is people acting like professionals do sometimes. They cuss. And I'm entertained by that. You know your kids are watching. You know when to let them watch or when not to watch. Well, the reason I bring it up is the Formula One ruling body, the FIA, the Fédération Internationale de Automobile, is going to start docking drivers for points if they cuss on their radio during the race.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Guys say stuff like, this blank hole, or what is this blank? I mean, to me, I enjoy that. And of course, if you're watching on ESPN, they take the direct feed from British Sky Sport, and the announcer go, well, we'd like to apologize for that. Like, who gives a crap? It's men racing. Exactly. So I just thought this is barking up the wrong tree for me as a race fan. I don't want to see guys lose points or potentially lose standings because they're just reacting like race car drivers react.
I think, too, Mike, that yes, and this is in their natural element. We always talk about these behind-the-scenes shows and why we dig, you know, Hard Knocks or all this kind of stuff. Like, part of this is you're in the cockpit with these guys. That's what is appealing to me. I want to know how he feels in that moment where a guy does something he shouldn't do. I don't want to be he takes away from that because he's afraid he's going to get fined a bunch of money.
So that's one of those stories I saw today. I was like, come on, man. That's just nonsense. That's nonsense. With that. Hey, from the best drivers in the world to the worst drivers in the world, the memes from what Atlanta and what the Southeast was the last 36 hours have just been epic. We talked yesterday a lot about the guy that apparently was driving down Cane's Hill. That runs, Carl, the road that Buckhead Butcher Shop is on. So I don't know if this jackleg was speeding or even if you hit the brakes. How this guy smashed his Mercedes into the Buckhead Saloon, I will never understand. But that's out there. And there's a lot of video out there earlier this morning or late last night. Cars on the side of surface streets and even some interstates and plenty of like log jam wrecks on the highway. Should be a little bit better tonight, but still be careful out there, especially on the southeast side, because it's still going to freeze up, it looks like, a little bit tonight.
Yeah, and that particular video has gotten, you know, thousands of views and went viral, to your point. Yeah,
right.
But, you know, everybody's making fun of the South, and everybody made fun of us in 2014. Oh, they can't handle snow. Right. I hope people who, New Orleans, I hope you understand now. You know what right. I mean? Beaumont, Texas, I hope you understand. Houston got 3 inches or whatever. Like, this is not what we're used to. And then when it happens here in Atlanta, it's like, oh, they don't know how to handle it. Nobody in the South knows how to handle it.
Right, man. But it's so cool to see a dude ice skating. A guy, literally, gloves and stick, Carl, doing stick handling on Canal Street. Those photos from Jackson Square all the way over to Charleston on the other side, just amazing.
Yeah, and the beach snow, too. I mean,
Right.
That was crazy. Hey, man, good stuff. Guy Talk coming up. We got the Falcon Report on the way. Also, Bill Bender's going to stop by, Sporting News senior writer, to talk some college football now that the season is all wrapped up. Coaching changes continue, and we're going to tell you all about it as well coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.